But I'm aware it's a cultural event in our city. And my wife was looking at the weather forecast for today and said it's going to be like 67 or something like that in Kansas City today. So, wow. So for curiosity's sake, I looked up the weather forecast for Miami. It said 69. They're going to play the Super Bowl here. Same weather. Then I said I'd look up the weather forecast for San Francisco. It was like 53 or 51. I was like, I just wonder if God's trying to point out which city's going to win by giving them the same weather. I don't know. I don't think God actually really much cares, to be honest. I think he's more concerned that with whatever you do, you give glory to God. And I think that's what's probably most important. But there's been some interesting things that have been said, been pointed out around the Super Bowl. And obviously, if you're Kansas City and you've grown up here, you know that 50 years since the last time the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl. And that's a long time. For some in here, you've grown up, gotten married, had kids, never saw it happen. I was very, very young. I can barely remember the hoopla, the paper that said the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. I was five. I just turned 5 years old. And that's a long, long time ago. And full transparency here. I grew up in Kansas City. I had a Chiefs poster on my wall in my bedroom. I was a Chiefs fan. In fact, when all my friends loved baseball, I was the oddball who loved football more. I loved baseball, but I loved football more. And so, yes, I would love to see them win. But I got to be honest, there are things that are more important in life. There really are. But in reading about some of the things that happened and some of the things that were said, of course, they asked the Chiefs players different thoughts. And this one, and I know I texted some of you guys this, but this one just, it's not my sermon, by the way, but this just stood out to me. I guess because I connected to it in a different kind of way. They asked defensive end Frank Clark what the Super Bowl means to him. This is part of his quote. He said, "I've never been there. And so it's a place I've never been. I'm willing to go to a place I've never been to get something that I've never had." And some of the comments were, that was kind of stupid. I thought, no, that's really profound. Because in a lot of ways, that describes our life. Hebrews says it this way. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them." And I realized, and I know Frank Clark was talking about the Super Bowl. I've never been there. I don't know what it's like. But I want to go there. I want to stand on the field and hold the Lombardi Trophy up. I want to get something I've never had before. That's profound. But I thought about it in light of our journey. Never been to heaven. It's a place I've never been, but it's a place I want to go. I've never had that crown of glory. I've never had that crown, but I want to have it. There's a different kind of trophy I want to hold up, and then I'm going to throw it at his feet. But I want to go there, and I want to reach. I haven't done it yet. I can't come back and tell you what it's like, but I want to go there. I can connect to that desire, that passion to want to achieve. And I thought of the difficulty. And if you've ever played sports, you know, it's high and hard. The higher up in the levels you go, the harder it becomes. The greater the cost on your body. Some of the players have talked about it. I was reading before the Chiefs played the Titans. Some of the Titans players, they had an interview with them, and the damage that is done. The players are saying, "I know in a few years I won't be able to walk, but I'll give it all right now for the chance to go to the Super Bowl." They're willing to lay it all down for the sake of an earthly trophy. How much more should you and I give our all for the sake of a heavenly trophy? For a trophy that never fades away. for a promise reserved for you and I. Somebody said amen. So yes, I hope the Chiefs win today. That would be exciting. I will be not praying for them to win. I will be hoping for them to win. I'm not going to bother God with my hope like that, but I will, whatever way happens, it happens. But you know what? God is good. Why don't you stand with me, grab your Bibles. Our classes are getting ready to go downstairs. They're going to be dismissed. So I guess somewhat influenced by all of that and the realization that if you're ever going to achieve anything, there are going to be moments of difficulty. Moments when things don't work right. When problems seem to overwhelm. It is your willingness to go past your adversity. Somebody asked Winston Churchill to give a college graduation speech, commencement address on the secret of his success. And famously, he got up. He was at Fulton College here in Missouri, in fact. It's on the other side of Columbia. Famously got up, and it was a three-word speech. Never give up. He turned around and sat down. They all looked at him. Got up, went back to Mike and said again, never give up. And one more time, never give up. Is it always easy to get to heaven? No. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room, like the old song said. 1 Samuel chapter 30. You're probably familiar with this passage. If you're not, it's going to be, you're going to like it. Well, you'll like what happens afterward. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag. They attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. They had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives and their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. If you underline things in your Bible, you need to underline this last line. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There's going to be days you're all alone. You better learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Talk to God. Pray, worship, sing. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring me the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered. He answered, pursue. Get up and go. For you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. God has called you to get up. God has called you to pursue. God has called you to fight. God has called you to win. You're on your way to someplace greater. God has a place for you. Just set your Bibles down. Lift up your hands. Let's just magnify the Lord together and worship Him. Lord, we give You glory. We thank You, Lord, for Your awesome power, Your presence that we feel. Lord, we ask that You have Your way in this house this morning. Lord, move with Your Spirit. Touch us today, Lord. Let Your Spirit come upon us, Lord, to lead us and to guide us. Help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. You can turn to somebody near and say, hey, keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Don't quit. You're gonna do it. I love the old song by Merle Ewing, "You're Gonna Make It." Just as long as you and Jesus stay friends, you're gonna make it. Somebody said amen. Amen. The story is told of the great gifted violinist Niccolo Paganini. He stood before a packed instrument house playing through a very difficult piece of music. Full orchestra surrounded him with magnificent support. Suddenly, one of the strings on his violin snapped and hung gloriously from the headstock of his instrument. Beads of perspiration popped out on his forehead. He frowned a moment, but he continued to play, improvising beautifully. To the conductor's surprise, a second string broke, and shortly thereafter, a third. Now there hung three limp strings dangling from the violin as Paganini continued to play. He completed the difficult piece on the one remaining string. The audience, at its conclusion, leaped to its feet, and good Italian fashion filled the hall with shouts and screams of "Bravo! Bravo!" As the applause died down, the violinist asked the people to sit back down. Even though they knew there was no way that they could expect an encore, they quietly sat back down into their seats. He held the violin high for everyone to see. He nodded at the conductor to begin the encore, and he turned back to the crowd. With a twinkle in his eye, he shouted, "Paganini, and one string." And after that, he placed the single string Stradivarius beneath his chin and played the final piece on one string as the audience and the conductor shook their heads in amazement. It seemed like he should set the violin down and say, "Done the best I can. Well, I got one string left, and if that breaks, I'm done for." He said, "If it's all I got, it's what I'm going to give. If it's all I've got, I'm going to give my best." There's going to be moments in living for God where you feel like, on a four-string violin, I've snapped three strings. I just don't have much left. I just don't know how far I can go. It feels like the load is too heavy for me. This just seems like one problem too many. I can't go further. I'm here to tell you today, don't give up. No, not because of Paganini, although that's a cool story. No, not because the Chiefs persevered through Mahomes' injuries and other injuries and they've made it to the Super Bowl, although that's a great story as well. No, I tell you to not give up because you have one who is on your side, who holds high his nail-scarred hands, ready to lift them in your aid, to applaud as you keep plunging forward one step, one day at a time. There is one who is on your side who has said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I have called you. You are my child. I've given you my name and my spirit. Do not give up. Keep on going. It may seem hard, but just keep trying. It's a hard day. Get up and do it again. You may feel like you've got one string left. Get up and keep going. You may feel like it's one problem too many. Get up and keep going. Why? Because I will never leave you as long as you do not give up." Consider the subject of our passage this morning, David. David's a great character. We find him in the shepherd field, forgotten by his father as the prophet Samuel comes to anoint the next king of Israel. He has to be called for because Jesse doesn't call him with all the other boys. There's some issues there. I'm not going to go into that, but when he finally arrives, he's anointed. And then he goes right back to the sheepfold. They don't have some grand procession and march him down to Shiloh and sit him on the throne. Jerusalem not yet being theirs. They don't have some grand procession and say, "Saul, got bad news for you, bud. God's chosen somebody else. It's this 16-year-old boy over here. So need you to turn in the keys and hand over the papers. Don't forget the keys to the royal carriage over there as well. You're out of here, bud." They knew better than to do that. David's anointed. He goes right back to watching his daddy's sheep. So a few months later, Saul is troubled and Somebody says, you know, I know a guy. He's strong and he's tall and he's a man of war, but he is talented on the harp, and he can play and sing with the presence of God. And he comes and he plays before Saul and soothes Saul's spirit. So he's getting closer to the fulfillment of his anointing. But when Saul is soothed, he goes back to his father's house. In the next chapter, we read that the Philistines have come to war against Israel, and the army marches out, but the Philistines have a secret weapon. Well, actually, not so secret. Everybody knew about him. He stood 13 feet tall. You don't hide somebody that's 13 feet tall. His name was Goliath of Gath, a giant. And he stands out and says, give me a man. And all the Israelites are hiding behind bushes and rocks and in little dips and valleys. Somebody says, hope you don't see me. I hope you don't see me. I hope you don't look at me. Almost like a cartoon. For a month, 40 days it goes on, until David shows up bringing bread and cheese for his brothers. He says, what's going on, fellas? And they're, get down. He'll see you. Who'll see me? And about that time, here comes the giant. David says, him? What is he doing? They tell him what's going on. And somebody says, but you know what? Saul has said, if anybody goes and fights him and wins, he gets to marry the king's daughter and he gets to live tax-free for the rest of his life. And his daddy gets to live tax-free too. Man, that's a nice bonus. David said, nobody's going out there to fight him? Even after all that, nobody's going to go out there and fight him? And David's brother, you know the story. David goes and says, I'll go fight him. King Saul finally relents. You know the story. David goes out there, slingshot, one stone, middle of the head. Saul goes down. David kills him. The armies of Israel prevail. You would think that's going to do it. That's it. That's the sign. Everybody's going to recognize it. David is the guy. No, no, no. He becomes a captain in the army. He leads him into battle. People sing songs about him, which infuriates Saul. It comes to the moment that Saul chases him from the palace, and David finds himself living on the run. It comes to the point that David is so far desperate that he makes an agreement with the king of Philistia, the king of Gath, Achish, and says, all right, I can't run anymore. I'll be your servant if I have to. The king of the Philistines gives him a little city named Ziklag. It's way to the south of the Negev desert. So the Philistines don't trust him. Israel doesn't want him. I'll hide him out in Ziklag and everything will be okay. See, sometimes we come to problems in our life. We feel like we've been beset by problems. Nobody understands us. Everybody misunderstands my intentions. Everybody is against me. It seems like everything has gone wrong and nothing is working well. I feel like everything is falling apart and I just want to go somewhere and hide. Anybody have that fantasy? Let me just go find a cave somewhere and I'm going to hide for a while. Let me just get away. Like the old Southwest commercial, you want to get away? Ever feel like you need to get away? Anybody ever been in one of those moments? This is it. I'm done. I'm tired. I can't do it anymore. I've got to get out of here. Anybody have that? I've talked to people. I said, don't run. Don't run. It's not gonna make it better. You don't believe me? Talk to Elijah. He tried to run. Finds himself in a cave on the backside of the desert. And guess what? God's still there. God sends an earthquake and a fire and a tornado to come by. A great wind. A wind so strong it breaks rocks in half. God's not in any of those things. Still small voice. Elijah, son of man. What are you doing here? Oh, God, I'm the only one left alive that wants to serve you. You may as well kill me, too. God says, I'm not done with you. Get up and go back. It took him weeks to get there. I mean, he's gone so far, they've lost his zip code. I mean, he's gone. If he never came back, he could live by himself as a hermit on the backside of a desert, staring out of a narrow cave. God said, I'm not done. You can try to run. You can try to find your Ziklag or your cave on the backside of a desert. You can be like Moses and run from your problem and find yourself in Jethro's house. I mean, that ought to be enough to tell you right there, Jethro's house. You didn't get it. That's okay. The name Jethro is a fine name, but it's taken on a different meaning in our culture in the last 40, 50 years. You can't escape God. God has a purpose for your life. God's called you. And it's not to hide somewhere. God will bring you through. Let me show you something about David's life for a moment. Whenever David faced a problem, there was something that would happen. The first time he faces the Philistines in the wilderness, is 1 Samuel 23, David inquired of the Lord. When he felt small against his enemy, David inquired of the Lord. When he was attacked by the Amalekites, David inquired of the Lord. Puzzled about what to do after the death of Saul, David inquired of the Lord. When he's crowned as king and pursued by the Philistines, David inquired of the Lord. On and on, it goes over and over again. There are moments when David inquired of the Lord. But when he flees to Ziklag, he does not inquire of the Lord. That should have been enough to tell you the problems were going to come. I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul, he said. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will despair of me. Does not ask God. Does not ask God at all. It leads him to this moment of utter despair. When everything he values and treasures is gone, the Amalekites have stolen them away. So much so that everybody that follows him, all these mighty men that have joined themselves to David over the last several years, are ready to kill him. They are thoroughly frustrated. This does not seem right. This should not be. This is not how things are supposed to go. Not that it was David's fault, but here they are. Here they are. And David does what you and I have to learn how to do when faced with problems. David encouraged himself in the Lord. David said, you know, God, I didn't talk to you before I came here, but you know what? I got to have you now. You've called me. You've purposed me. I need you now. And despite David's mistakes, missteps, God is right there. See, here's what happens. We make mistakes. We make missteps. And the enemy comes into our minds or into whispers in our ears and says, you messed up and now God is against you because you messed up God's plan. Look at this. God is not going to help you. Now, I want you to understand something. The devil is a liar. God has not for one moment given up on you, lost sight of you, nor is he angry at you. Yeah, you might have been in the wrong place, but God said, you know what? Come on back. Come back and talk to me. I've got the way out of this. I've got the way through this. Don't give up. Come and talk to me. I am your God. I brought you this far. I will get you all the way out of this. I'm encouraging somebody this morning that the enemy has done a number in your mind saying, you can't call talk to God. You can't pray like that. You can't ask God for help. God is clearly against you. God is clearly allowing all of these things to happen. I want you to understand something. The devil is a liar. God is on your side. He is for you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to be your God. He's not about to leave you out there in Ziklag all by yourself in a cave all alone feeling like I'm about to die. God has said, I have something better for you. It's time to wake up and realize who you are and who I am. I have not lost sight of you. I know right where you are. Somebody needs to talk to God. Somebody needs to encourage themselves in the Lord. Somebody needs to say, he's still my God. Just you might not think it. You may not realize that he's still my God. I may not feel like it in the moment. I may feel like everything is against me, but my mind understands this from the Word of God. He is still my God. Devil, you can laugh at me. You can mock. You can say things about me. But understand this. He's still my God. And it's just a matter of time till he brings me out of the desert. It's just a matter of time until Ziklag is no longer burning. It's just a matter of time until I recover everything. It's just a matter of time until I'm in a better place. Hear me. Despite what you feel like, what God wants for you is someplace better than where you are now. Emotionally and spiritually. Job lost everything, but he ended up with twice as much. Am I saying God's going to double everything? I don't know if he's going to double. I just know this. God wants to bless your life in ways you've not yet considered. Just don't give up. You see, when David gives up, he gets out. When David comes to that moment and says, I'm done, I can't do this anymore, I can't hide, I'm done, I'm going over to the Philistines. I'm going to join the enemy. When he gives up, he gets out. And yes, he's right. Saul cannot chase him into the lands of the Philistines. And here's the problem with that. When you give up and you get out, eventually you sell out. David sold out to the enemy for a time. His title is the servant of the king of the Philistines. This man, this young man who was anointed to be king of Israel, called by the one and only living God, is now the servant of the king of the Philistines. So we start to compromise within ourselves, it will lead us to a place of selling out the treasured things of our lives. And so when the devil begins to play in our minds and say, this is it, see, he sold out. God can't take you back now. You're done for now. God is never done with you. I don't care what's happened. I don't care how far you've gone. God is not done with you. God has a plan and a purpose for you. Oh, things may not feel the same in the moment. It may feel like you're going in the wrong direction. It may feel like things are not as good as they used to be. You realize from this period of David's life, there are no psalms that are written. His harp is silent. Sin mutes the minstrel. He's living in the camp of the Philistines. He can't sing a song to God. It's a terrible moment in his life. And as long as he is in that place, there are certain things that cannot happen. But it does not mean God is done with him. God is still watching over David's life. When David sells out, and even after the Philistines give him Ziklag, it is his purpose to defend Israel's southern border. Not by the wish of the Philistines, but it's what David wants to do. But the problem with that is to defend their border, he can't allow Saul to find out where he is. So any group that comes through, he not only has to stop them, he has to literally murder every person in whatever group it is. The Geshurites, the Gerzites, the Amalekites. It is this action that eventually leads the Amalekites to come raid Ziklag. David is the cause of David's current problems. When he chooses to sell out, he finds himself in Ziklag. In Ziklag, he has to become a thorough murderer, killing every raiding party that comes by. And eventually that leads the Amalekites to retaliate. And sometimes we find ourselves in places because we made hasty decisions that leads to retaliation. That may not be your case. That may not be your story right now. But maybe for someone in here it is. We find ourselves on the boomerang end of something we created without intending to. We had the best of intentions. We had a right desire. Protecting Israel was the desire. But the result has been something we did not want. We've all been in the place that we find ourselves with a result we did not intend or want, simply because of actions we undertook, whether by accident or intention. And sometimes even with the best intentions, we find ourselves with the ground around us burning, seeming as if hope is gone. We've all been in that place. Here's what you've got to understand about that place. Yes, you might have messed up. Yes, you might have done things you shouldn't have done. Yes, you might have made missteps and caused actions to create reactions that have brought a retaliation into your life. You might be standing in the middle of burning ruins, thinking that life is over, hope is gone. God can't help me in this moment. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to give up. I'm done. Stop the world and let me get off. Again, I want to come back to my title. Don't give up. God is not done with you. So, but Pastor, I created, I understand that, but God's not done with you. But I'm the one who made the mistake, I understand that, but God's not done with you. God was not yet done with David. God was not done with Elijah. God was not done with Moses. And God's not done with you. Sometimes we settle into a routine, saying, this is the best I can do. This is the best I'll ever be. I've made mistakes. I bear the scarlet letter of my own shame. And so all I can do is occupy your pew and clap my hands every once in a while and dream of what could have been in God. But God's not done with you. Somebody needs to rip the scarlet letter off. Somebody needs to step to the mouth of the cave and say, God, here I am. Don't give up on me because I'm not giving up on you. Somebody needs to step out of the burning ruins of your Ziklag and say, okay, God, I made some mistakes, but here I am. I want to know, should I keep on going or do I just give up and live in the ruins of Ziklag? I'm here to tell you, God's going to say the same thing to you that he said to David on that day. Get up, pursue after them. You're not done yet. I've got a purpose for your life. I'm going to restore things in your life. I'm going to bless things in your life. I never gave up on you. Despite David giving up on God and giving up on Israel and giving up on doing what was right, God never gave up on him. See, I realize if you could see tomorrow, if you could see what it's going to look like in 3 months, if you could see what it's going to look like in 2 years, you'd have the courage. You'd have the faith. Oh, I see what it's going to be like. I can do it. Yeah, it's just a little ways out there. If I just stay faithful, if I just pray, if I just read my Bible, if I just come to church, I know it's going to be all right. I can see it, so it's going to be okay. We don't get to see it. That's why we have to operate by faith. I haven't seen it yet, but I believe it's there. I'm going to a place that I haven't seen yet. That's not just heaven. That's my future in God. That's how my life is going to look in 2 years. That's what it's going to feel like in 6 months. I haven't been there yet. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I believe it's going to be all right. I haven't been there yet. So I'm willing to go to a place I've never been to get something that I've never had. Who's willing to go someplace you've never been? Who's willing to get up and come out of the mouth of the cave? Who's willing to step out of the burning ruins of your Ziklag and say, here I am, God. I'm not about to give up. You probably don't remember the name Florence Chadwick. Anybody know Florence Chadwick? 1952? In 1952, Florence Chadwick attempted to set a record by swimming chilly waters between Catalina Island and the California shore. She swam through foggy weather and choppy seas for 15 hours. Her muscles began to cramp. Her resolve weakened. She begged to be taken out of the water, but her mother, riding in a boat alongside her, urged her not to give up. She kept trying, but she grew exhausted. She stopped swimming. Aides lifted her out of the water and into the boat. They paddled a few more moments, the mist broke, and she discovered that shore was less than half a mile away. She said, all I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. We don't get to see the shore. We swim through fog. But there is a God who calls from the shoreline saying, don't give up. You're going to make it. Keep going. You're almost there. Don't stay where you are. Come on, I've got a better future for you. There's a prize waiting for you. There's an overcoming moment waiting for you. You just got to keep going. Don't give up yet. I'm waiting right here. I've seen it. I'm already in it. I'm already in that tomorrow. I know what it's going to look like. Just keep going. Don't give up. We've all tasted that moment. We gave up. Only to realize if I just pressed on a little further. Musicians, if you'll come. Where are you this morning? Are you in the mouth of the cave with Elijah? Sitting around the fire at the backside of a desert with Moses at Jethro's camp? And maybe you're kneeling with David in the burning fires of Ziklag. Not sure how you're going to live through with this moment. The answer is still the same. Don't give up. God is with you. He called Moses, pulled him out of the waters of the Nile, not just so he could live in Pharaoh's house, but so he could lead his people. God didn't give up on Moses, even though Moses ran. Elijah, you've been sent from Judah to prophesy in Israel. Because I know Ahab doesn't like you, and I know Jezebel detests you. She said, I'm going to kill you. Don't give up. God will protect you. God will be with you. In fact, God is going to bring Jezebel down. You've just got to keep preaching the truth. Don't worry about the Jezebels. Sooner or later, some eunuch is going to chunk her out the window. The dogs are going to eat her. Jezebel's come to a horrible end. And by the way, you saw my sermon. You allow a Jezebel spirit into your life. Jezebel spirit, by the way, is one that opposes authority of all kinds. If you allow a Jezebel spirit into your life, the end is never pleasant. That spirit lies and says you can be a ruler and a king and a god on your own. Little g. But it's a lying spirit. And the end of all Jezebels is they're thrown out of a window and they die on the ground. Period. Don't let a Jezebel in your life. Somebody said amen. Or maybe you're like David. I messed up. I caused things to happen on accident. Or maybe on purpose. I just didn't realize the result. And now everything is burned down around me. God is saying, don't give up. Every time Moses asked the Lord, God said, I got you covered. But I'm going to need all this stuff. What's in your hand? Shepherd's staff. That's all you need. I can do great things with a shepherd's staff. Elijah, I'm all alone. You don't need thousands with you. Watch what happens when I use you. Fire is going to fall from heaven and make burn up a sacrifice. Rain is going to come to quench the drought. And Jezebel can't touch you. He goes, I've got another prophet named Obadiah hiding hundreds of prophets and using the king's treasury to feed them with, and Jezebel doesn't know a thing about it. He goes, I'm making a mockery of Jezebel. I'm laughing at her every day. She just doesn't know it. It's only a matter of time till everybody sees it. Don't give up, Elijah. Miracles are taking place around you. David, don't give up. Your answer is just over the hillside. Because you're going to find a young man laying in the grass, an Egyptian, who they gave up on. The Amalekites left him for dead. And you're going to feed him? And he's going to take you right to their camp. You're going to take the shortcut. And you're going to get there speedily. And you're going to bring everybody home. I've already got the answer waiting for you out in the grass. You just don't know it. There's an answer lying out there and you just haven't seen it yet. I've already prepared the answer for you. Don't give up. So I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Maybe just me. Don't give up. God's already prepared the way for you. He's doing things that you haven't seen. He's got answers waiting for you that you've not even heard of. Don't give up. Don't give up. As we stand together, I invite you to bow your heads with me for a moment. So I may not know where you are. I know the Lord does. And if you're honest with yourself, you do as well. You know the fears and the worries, the anxieties. You know the struggles, the moments you've made mistakes and missteps. You feel the weight and the pressure, the problems in your life. That voice comes whispering softly, saying to give up. God's not going to help you. You're on your own here. God doesn't care. He doesn't love you anymore. I'm here to tell you that voice is a liar. That God is calling you to get up, to never give up, to not quit. That He's with you. He's got the answer waiting for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. If you've made up your mind, I'm not giving up. I refuse to let the enemy win. I may have to stay in Ziklag a little longer, but I'm not giving up. I don't know how long it's going to take me to get back to where I need to be spiritually, but I'm starting my journey today. I refuse to give up. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall, for I shall arise. You're not going to keep me down. I'm getting up. God is for me, not against me. You cannot lie to me any longer. God is on my side. If you feel that resonated inside of you, God is with me. He's not against me. He's going to help me out of this. God's going to be with me. And I want you to step out from where you are and find your way down to this front right here and say, here I am, God. I'm not going to give up. I'm not quitting.
Oh, no, no, no. The devil may have knocked me down, but I'm getting up again. I refuse to quit. I'm going to overcome. The Lord is on my side. This is not the end of who I am. This is not where I stop. This is not where I get off. This is not where things end. No, no, this is my new beginning. This is the moment God starts doing the miraculous. This is where I make up my mind. I'm not running to the backside of a desert. I'm not living in a cave somewhere. I'm not going to stay in burning ruins. My God is with me. I'm going to be an overcomer. God is going to help me through. Come on right now.
I'm not going back.
Oh, yes.
I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. What a moment you have brought me to such a freedom. I have found in you, you're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. You have arisen with all power in your hands. You have given me a second chance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over in you, all things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving. Over in you, all things are made.